What's up, Bird Gang? Jonathan Gannon, your new head coach, Arizona Cardinals. Ready to get to work. Buckle up. We're going to have some fun.
Shut up. What's up, Bird Gang?
What's up, Bird Gang?
Shut up. Never play that again. Oh, my God. Listen, he got the job. Good for him. I don't begrudge him for taking the job. Although, you know what? I don't want to say anything because this is a moment. Mike, you wrote a very well-formed, interesting, opinionated column after the Super Bowl about two guys and how they handled it. One of them was Jonathan Gannon. One with James Bradbury, mm-hmm. who kind of said, like, yeah, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Gannon, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
So look, I've listened to the station for a good bit of the week and have heard a lot of people lamenting the way that the Eagles defense performed in the Super Bowl. And we've had this discussion basically for the last 2 years that Gannon has been the defensive coordinator about how good is he really. The team doesn't play well against good quarterbacks, but yet they picked up 70 sacks, and how good a coach is he really, and all these sort of things. And on the whole, I thought Gannon did a pretty good job as the coordinator. He got completely outcoached in that Super Bowl, though. And what irked me, really bothered me in the aftermath of it, was to walk into the Eagles' locker room after the game and see James Bradbury standing there at his locker and kind of fixing his suit coat and turning around, throwing his shoulders back, and kind of nodding his head and standing there and answering question after question about that penalty as we discussed, is going to be the memorable moment for Eagles fans coming out of this game.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs Juju Smith-Schuster, the flag gets thrown. All of a sudden, a game that the Eagles might win becomes a game the Eagles can't win, and he's the GOAT. Not the greatest of all time, but the guy who gets pointed to as the reason they lost the game. So he's standing there answering question after question after question. And Jonathan Gannon, who, in fairness, is under no obligation to answer questions after a game, he didn't have to, didn't. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. I thought, here is a situation where Gannon's name has been thrown out there in head coaching searches and circles for a while now. It was not surprising to have him go interview and be hired by the Cardinals in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. I felt like he could have taken some time and stood up there the way James Bradbury did, shoulder to shoulder with his players. And even if he says, guys, we should have played better. Guys, I got to look at the film. Guys, the Chiefs outplayed us. I could have done a better job. Even if he offers those Andy Reid-like cliches, at least he's standing there answering questions.
Players are taking the heat.
Yeah.
He should take the heat.
Exactly. And that really bothered me.
That's a good point.
That's what I wrote.
It was a powerful column. Now, he said afterward that he never spoke with the Cardinals before the Super Bowl. That, I don't know, Kyle, if you're able to quickly find the sound on that, where he said, like, yeah, the day after we're going to go home, and Howie Roseman says to me, no, you're not going. You're staying here to talk to the Cardinals. And voila, 6 hours later, the Cardinals hire him.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of that. Needless to say, and never mind the fact that his name had been out there as a head coaching candidate. Even if he had not spoken to the Cardinals, it was logical and reasonable to think that a team that had not hired a head coach yet might want to talk to him in the aftermath of the Super Bowl, and he could have taken a minute to stand up for his players and take the heat in the way that they took the heat.
I agree. And by the way, if the Cardinals hired him with, like, just one day interview after the Super Bowl, that's not exactly.
Yeah, it's a red stamp.
Not great diligence by them. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my Jonathan Gannon.
All right. Do you feel better now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you be, as many Philadelphians will you be harboring ill feelings toward Jonathan Gannon for years to come?
No, I just think he messed up on this night. He should have stood there and answered questions about his defense's performance.
And he messed up on the field and off and in the locker room.
Yeah, but I have nothing personal against him.
Rocco, will you be harboring ill feelings toward Jonathan Gannon for years to come?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an understatement.
I was going to say, all I'm doing is putting the ball on the tee for you here, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I didn't call in to talk about that loser. I called in to talk about a winner, and that's Angelo Cataldi. Glenn, you see me at the games. I wear my name on the back of my shirt, and people know me and recognize me and want to talk to me at the games and even abroad. And it's just I owe it all to Angelo. And then, you know, I started thinking there's a lot of people who could, you know, fall into that group. And I started thinking, Mike, you don't know, I'm a high school teacher. I teach personal finance. So a lot of things with me is about commerce and money. And I started thinking about businesses that had grown because of Angelo. Glenn, I think before you came on WIP, you were doing the Great Sports Debate.
Yes.
And you were doing the live shows at Chickie and Pete's.
Yes.
And at the time was one location on Robbins Avenue, that little hole-in-the-wall place. And now look how much has grown. I mean, you can make the argument that Angelo was a factor in that growth.
Should eat free for life there. And probably will.
He'll demand that he eats free there.
But look at others. Mitchell and Ness with Big Reuben. Steven Singer. I mean, so forth and so on. I mean, Angelo had such an impactful presence for the last 30 plus years in the city of Philadelphia. I would even make a slight argument that the Eagles surpassed the Phillies as the top sports team in Philadelphia because of Angelo.
Well, it's a huge part of it. And Rock, thanks. And I look forward to talking to you as moving forward. But, and yeah, I mean, Angelo as an amazing endorser and somebody who can really sell product. Yes, it wasn't at the top of my list, but I can't dispute what Rocco has to say.
No, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think he came along at a time where it was still possible to have a lot of shared experiences in a community. It's harder to do that now because everything is so fractured. You have your own Facebook page, your own social media. You can curate anything you want. It's rarer now that everybody watches the same TV show or sees the same big movie. But somehow Angelo held on to this audience within this market of people listen to the morning
30
show.
Plus years he was on top. I don't know if people outside of the business understand how incredibly hard that is to do, because it really is hard to do. He's done it. Preston and Steve have done it. Mm-hmm. And that's like, and Jim Gardner did it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody I'm leaving out, but it's really hard to do.
And like I said earlier, Glenn, I'm really curious to see how the tenor of the town itself and the perception of the town change without him around. Because I do think that so much of the outside impression, and a lot of it was true, was based on him and the image that he projected about who we were as Philadelphians. And a lot of that sometimes was good. A lot of it sometimes wasn't so good.
Yep. By the way, coming up at 11, we're going to talk to your colleague and Eagles beat writer Jeff McClain of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And I know one of the topics we'll discuss is something John from Manayunk wants to bring up. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Over to Super Bowl. I'm going to talk about the future of the Eagles here real quick.
Sure.
Sounds good.
So I'll just give a couple observations. You guys can reply. So I think that Howie's going to trade a number one down for a couple more picks. Is picking off that guy Quinn, that really hurt us, like, for next year in a draft. And I'd look.
Yeah, that's the only move he made that didn't work was picking up Quinn. Listen, it was supposed to. It didn't. The others did. I don't think they would trade the first one because that's pretty valuable. But the second one, it's the 30th now because the Dolphins don't have a first rounder.
Yeah,
I could see them trading that down.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to want to accumulate picks.
Yeah, I'm looking here on the internet. We have like 23 agents. I think.
Yes.
Everyone likes Brandon Graham. I think Fletcher Cox is definitely gone. But which guys would you keep? I hear people talking Gardner Johnson. I would try to think about bringing Hargrave back.
So, Mike, you go first on that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, John.
Okay.
John Hargrave is 30, and I think you have to make a judgment call about how much football he has left in him, right? And now, it's certainly possible that he has plenty in it. I mean, they signed Ndamukong Suh, and he's 36, I think, and he was pretty good for them. So it's possible for a defensive lineman to play into his 30s and still be good. So if you're confident in Javon Hargrave that he can continue to maintain this level of play, I might look at him first.
Okay. To me, I got to get one of the two back, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson or Bradbury. they're free agents. Epps is a free agent. You can't lose that much of your secondary. I'd love to keep both Gardner Johnson and Bradbury. I don't know that I can.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Hargrave. I think Cox is not coming back unless he does it on a bargain basement contract. I think the same thing with Brandon Graham.
Mm-hmm.
The guys you signed during the season were really just kind of short-term substitutes.
Yes.
So Hargrave does become more important. I'm looking less at the position itself than I mean at the player himself than I am at the position.
Well,
and you can't just allow yourself to have those positions stripped down.
You're right. And the guy who becomes very important in the offseason and next season is Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
You need him to develop because he really took a step backward after he suffered that injury this year.
Agree. Let's think of one more call before the top of the hour. Wait, did I hang up? No. Let me get Mike in Delaware.
Yeah.
That's who I want to get. Mike, you're on with Mike and Glenn.
Glenn, Mike, good morning.
Morning, Mike.
I haven't had a chance to call in, Mike, since you joined the group, but let me just say that I really, really enjoy you on the show. I think you had big shoes to fill, and you've been doing a great job.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
So, Angelo, I'm old enough, unfortunately, to remember him as a writer, and he really was a great writer.
Phenomenal.
Terrific.
And in 33 years at the top of any media, kind of just shows you that he had to have been great. What he did. Mm-hmm. But I have a major criticism of him, and it's one I might be unpopular for.
Go ahead.
But I think the issue I had with him was that he really pandered to like the lowest common denominator too much. And I think he really, probably more than anybody else, just kind of helped perpetuate that negative stereotype of the boorish Philadelphia fan. And didn't just perpetuate it, but I think he encouraged it.
And, you're not alone in that opinion, and a guy from Crossing Broad wrote an entire column based on that yesterday. So my thought on that, Mike, is I can understand you feeling that way, but I also think that Angelo often did that tongue-in-cheek, and it worked on several levels, if that makes any sense to you.
No, I understand what you're saying, but unfortunately, I think a lot of people didn't realize that he was doing it tongue-in-cheek. And I've seen it a lot in what I call negative trolling of other teams on the internet. It's something I don't think he really kind of thought about. But I've kind of seen that there's been a lot of negative trolling by Philadelphia fans, way more than I think I would have expected in the past.
Wait, did you say that's on Angelo?
No, I'm just saying that the mindset that his behavior encouraged kind of helps with that as well. It's not just that. I mean, you've seen it, you know, just in public. You know, people are, you know.
Yeah, I think you're putting too much on Angelo there. And I got to hit a break, and I do appreciate your call. And, well, you can speak to it.
Look, I think I had my battles on the air with Angelo, too. I got into a screaming match with him last year after, ironically enough, to bring it up today, after the Chiefs beat the Eagles during the regular season. And Andy Reid had won his 100th game with the Chiefs, first head coach in NFL history to win 100 games. I wrote a column pointing that out, and Angelo was angry with me that I didn't note all the terrible things about Andy Reid, and we ended up going back and forth about it. I do think Angelo did help create the impression that Philadelphia sports fans at times are unreasonable.
I don't know that he created it. He may have perpetuated it. It goes back before any of
us. It does. Exacerbated it, intensified it. Maybe those are the better words. It was interesting. You mentioned the piece on Crossing Broad by Kevin Kincaid. Our friend Anthony Sanfilippo wrote a similar one praising Angelo. But what I thought was interesting was that the example Anthony used to kind of give his insight into Angelo was he and Angelo went to a Blue Jays Yankees spring training game together years ago because Angelo was a Yankees fan. And they ended up getting to the game late. They stayed an inning and a half, and the Yankees pulled all their good players from the game. And Angelo immediately got up and wanted to leave. And Anthony said, "Where are you going? It's a spring training game. Of course they're going to play the backups." And Angelo said, "This game is no longer interesting. I'm the customer. I'm always right." And I think that gets to kind of the tension that that Mike was talking about. It's like, well, this is a reasonable thing that this team is doing. This is what all teams do. Even the Yankees are going to take Derek Jeter out in a spring training game. But to Angelo, that was the wrong thing to do for the fans, and he was going to complain about it.
Nicely said. By the way, a guy on Twitter, Mike Gibson, just sent me a name. Pierre Robert is another guy who's been on top. Been great.
Yes.
This is before I got to town and on top of the market.
Awesome.
I just respect guys who are able to do that so much, and Angelo is one of those. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Jeff McClain of the Inquirer. What are the Phillies? What are the Eagles going to be doing in terms of hiring coordinators?